The second Polaroid pop took force the first one out of the slot. It fluttered down to the top of the desk, where it landed with a thud heavier than such a square of chemically treated cardboard could possibly make. The sundog filled almost the entire frame now. The foreground was its impossible head, the black pits of the eyes, the smoking, teeth-filled jaws. The skull seemed to be elongating into the shape of a bullet or a teardrop as the dog thing's speed and the shortening distance between it and the lens combined to drive it further out of focus. Only the tops of the pickets and the fence behind it were visible now. The bulk of the thing's flexed shoulders ate up the rest of the frame. Kevin's birthday string tie, which had rested next to the sun camera in his drawer, showed at the bottom of the frame, winking back a shaft of hazy sunlight.
"Almost gotcha, you son of a whore,"
Pop said in a high, cracked voice. His eyes were blinded by the light. He saw neither dog nor camera. He saw only the voiceless cuckoo, which had become his life's mission.
"You'll sing, damn you. I'll make you sing."
Flash! The third picture pushed the second from the slot. It fell too fast, more like a chunk of stone than a square of cardboard, and when it hit the desk, it dug through the ancient frayed blotter there and sent startled splinters flying up from the wood beneath. In this picture, the dog's head was torn even further out of focus. It had become a long column of flesh that gave it a strange, almost three-dimensional aspect. In the third one, still poking over the slot in the bottom of the camera, the sundog's snout seemed, impossibly, to be coming back into focus again. It was impossible because it was as close to the lens as it could get. So close it seemed to be the snout of some sea monster, just below that fragile meniscus we call the surface.
"Damn thing still ain't quite right," Pop said.
His finger pushed the Polaroid's trigger again.